I think Casey has a word. It's probably going to be a series of words, but I think she has a word that is in line with what the season we're moving into, and especially starting in September, how the Holy Spirit wants to begin moving and activating the body of Christ for awakening and reformation in the earth. So I think the word that she's bringing prepares each of us to say, here am I, Lord. Use me.
Am I on? Oh, I am. Okay. How many of you here now have filled out a spiritual gifts survey? Specifically the one that Peter Wagner did. Okay. If you don't know where it is, or it's been at least 10 years since you've done it, mine's been almost 10 years, I'm going to suggest that you do it again. We have some with us, so see Al afterwards. But I am going to start a series. It's going to be at least two, probably three messages on spiritual gifts. Lord, I ask that the word that you've given me would be clear and concise, that I would be able to communicate what you have been speaking to me. In the name of Jesus. Amen. In Romans chapter 12, and a lot of what I'm going to be talking tonight is based on the first 10 verses of this chapter. And this is from the Amplified Bible. Deference to Lisa. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. I was looking at the complete Jewish Bible last night, and it says it's your temple service. But do not be conformed to this world or this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is good and the acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. For by the grace, the unmerited favor of God given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him. For as in one physical body we have many parts, organs, members, and all of these parts do not have the same function or use, so we, numerous as we are one body in Christ, the Messiah, and individually we are parts of one another, mutually dependent on one another. Having gifts, faculties, talents, qualities that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. He whose gift is prophecy, let him prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. He whose gift is practical service, let him give himself to serving. He who teaches, to his teaching. He who exhorts or encourages, to his exhortation. He who contributes, let him do it in simplicity and liberality. He who gives aid and superintends with zeal and singleness of mind, and he who does acts of mercy with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. Let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate what is evil. Loathe all ungodliness. Turn in horror from wickedness, but hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. The last few times I've spoken, we've looked at the power of our words. We've released ourselves from curses over our lives. We've talked about the types and power of our prayer, and we've talked about our identity in Christ. And I want to look at our spiritual gifts or anointing that are part of our unique makeup as Christians and as a church. Spiritual gifts are for the universal body of Christ and every church, even though many don't recognize this. Spiritual gifts didn't start to be discussed until about 1972. There was a cessationist theory that spiritual gifts died out, just like all the apostles did and all the prophets did. You're still here. And it wasn't until about 1972 that they started to come back into the mainstream. And so while they might say there's a pastor, they wouldn't say there's a spiritual gift of pastor. And they wouldn't acknowledge the spiritual gifts of apostle, prophet, and healing were the three big ones that they really didn't like, churches in general. Now they are much more accepted. There is still some controversy as to which ones are for today and which ones are not, but they are for every church. It does not matter what the denomination is or the philosophy is or the ministry is. Spiritual gifts are for every single Christian and every single church. They are utilitarian and they are functional. They are very task-oriented. We are given a spiritual gift to be able to complete a task or part of a task, our little part, because we are a big body. So for our little part, if we do our little part, there won't be a hole in the big body, right? When used properly, they produce effective ministry and tasks get completed and they provide health to the church. Peter Wagner, in his book, Your Spiritual Gifts, defines a spiritual gift as a special attribute given by the Holy Spirit, given to every member of the body of Christ according to God's grace for use within the context of the body. Romans 12:6 and 1 Corinthians 12:4 state that our gifts come only from divine grace. The Greek word for spiritual gift is charisma. It comes from the root word charis, which means grace. There is a very close and distinct correlation between the divine gift of grace and the spiritual gifts we are given. An attribute from this definition is that which is attributed, that which is considered as belonging to or inherent in, as power and wisdoms are attribute of a supreme being or a quality determining something to be after a certain manner, as extension is an attribute of body. So if he gives us a gift, he is giving us a new attribute, and it will be in his image, right? That's all he can do. He won't give it unless it's in his image. An attribute is also a quality, a characteristic disposition, as generosity and bravery in men. When we say within the context of the body, we're not confining the use of the gifts to the Sunday, or in this case, Saturday night congregation. The biblical word for church is ecclesia, meaning people of God. When we gather together as a congregation, we are a nuclear church. So tonight, we are looking at the nuclear church. But we are still the people of God the entire rest of the week, right?
Yes.
And so wherever we are scattered, we are an extended church. And if you think of that extended church within any given workspace, let's say, there are going to be people from this nuclear church, and people from other nuclear churches are going to be part of that. But within that also are going to be people that are not Christian. So in that physical space, they may not be part of the church, but they will be physically present. But any Christian is part of an extended church for the other however many hours it is during the week that we are not in this place. Our gifts are always to be available for use at any time for ministry. Now here, it's easy to see how that could work. We heard Katie come and give a prophetic vision of what she saw. We heard Lorna come and give a testimony of the grace of God. And we've had worship, and there was opportunity for gifts to be used. But in other mountains, in other cultural mountains, spiritual gifts are still valuable and very much needed. And they are needed in the appropriate setting, the appropriate context, and the appropriate language. We do not talk Christianese in Wegmans. Okay? We are not allowed to as teachers in a public school. But we can use our gifts in the setting of the other mountains. We need to use our gifts in the setting of the other mountains. They're not given to us just to use here. Some gifts, such as evangelists and miracles, are actually designed to be used outside of the body. We don't need to be evangelized here, but there's a whole bunch of people outside these four walls that do. Spiritual gifts are given to us so we can impact the world for the kingdom of God and make the earth look like heaven. That's our ministry. We are to make the earth look like what the Lord shows us about heaven. It's not the job of the religion mountain to change the other mountains of culture. The Christian part of the religion mountain is actually very small, because remember that the religion mountain includes every single thing that everybody believes, whether godly or not. So the Christian part, even though it is very powerful because we have an almighty powerful God, is still a very small part of the religion mountain. We cannot say religion mountain is going to change the rest of culture. But we, as the people of God, in those other mountains where we have influence, can change. And we can use our spiritual gifts in those other mountains. It's a mandate of all Christians, all the people of God, to impact all of the mountains of culture, even the religion mountain.
That's right.
I was thinking as I was writing this, Al, we all know that Al has a gift of prophecy. He didn't start using it in the church first. Where he started using it was at Eastman Kodak down in Tennessee, before we even knew what the spiritual gift of prophecy was. He used business language. He used business procedures. He wrote business cases. But he was doing that strategic thinking that this is right and this is wrong and this is how it's got to go, that black and white thinking. And it was before, and we were in a church that didn't believe in spiritual gifts at the time. So it was before we even really knew what they were other than a word in the Bible. Spiritual gifts are not natural talents. Natural talents are given to us by God, but they're not spiritual. cooking, athletics, intelligence, musical ability. Those are all given to us by God, but they're not spiritual. Those are natural talents. Spiritual gifts are not fruit of the Spirit. All Christians have access to all of the fruit, and we are expected to demonstrate all of them. The more mature we get, the more we are expected to demonstrate all of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit helps define what a Christian is, but the gifts of the Spirit help define what a Christian does. Fruit is the foundation for the gifts to operate objectively. The gifts are temporal, they're task-oriented, but the fruit of the Spirit is eternal and God-oriented. The gifts are not Christian roles. We all have roles. There are times when we pray. There's times when we witness to those around us. There's times when we serve. There's times when we worship. There's times when we exhort. These are roles that each one of us does at one time or another to meet situations and circumstances. That's not a gift. We're all expected to pray. We're all expected to have faith. That's not the gift. There's a difference between a gift of celibacy and a role of celibacy. If you have a gift of celibacy, you're not bothered by not being married. You're not looking to be married. You're not tempted in an undue fashion. If you could turn around and get married tomorrow if the right opportunity came along, you don't have a gift of celibacy. But some people are truly called to remain single, and it's a spiritual gift, and they have no problem with temptation. They have no problem feeling that they need to be married or have children. But if I am traveling and I am away by myself, I am expected to maintain a role of celibacy where I will not do anything with a person of anybody, but especially the opposite sex, that would break my covenant with my husband. Does that make sense? Do you see the difference between the role and the gift? Okay. Spiritual gifts are not the counterfeit gifts. Satan gives gifts to those that follow him, and they are used to mimic God's spiritual gifts. An example would be divination for the spirit of wisdom. Those that serve Satan will use divination. They will use the occult. They will use clairvoyance instead of the word of wisdom, which is a spiritual gift from God. Now, all Christians have at least one gift, usually more than one, usually many more than one, and some are dominant and some are subordinate. But it makes a unique to you gift so that nobody in here has the exact same gift to the exact same extent. Because I could be given a gift of faith, and we'll just say it's here. And Lisa could have a gift of faith, but the grace given to her is up here. And if we are operating as much as God has given us, he is well pleased. It has nothing to do with she has more than me. That's not the issue. That's right. Because Holy Spirit gives us the gifts in the intensity according to his will. And so if I have a gift of faith here, but I might have discerning of spirits up here, then my gift mix will be different than somebody who's got a gift of faith up here and a gift of discerning of spirits down here. We may do things very much alike, but our gift mix will be different, and our strengths and our weaknesses will be different. Very much like when I talked about the intercessory prayer and the different prayer styles that each person has, The same thing with the spiritual gift mix. Each person has a unique to you kind of gift mix. Holy Spirit looked at you and said, okay, you get, okay. And you get them on the day of salvation. Whether you recognize it or not, your gifts are given to you on the day of salvation, and they are for the rest of your life. If you never recognize them and use them, you miss out, and so do the rest of us. But if you do recognize them, find out what they are and use them, you are blessed, and so is the church. They are received, not achieved. You cannot earn a spiritual gift no matter what you do. And you can't choose which ones you get. That's not an option. I cannot say, I like the way I'll prophesize. I want to do that too. I may be able to prophesy at times. We all can at times, right? But I don't have the gift of prophet like he does. I have a gift of something else that God wanted me to have and learn how to use so that I can benefit the body and those around me outside. And if I'm jealous of him, then I am ruining the gift that I have. And I'm making it hard for him to use his gift. Yeah. There is no place for jealousy in the spiritual gift mix. Spiritual gifts are not defined by a title or a position, but by the anointing of God. In God's grace, you receive your gifts. And no man can confer them. No man can give you them. Presbytery and commissioning and ordination, I'll bet some of you that have been through that are thinking, but they said I have. Yes, they did. Because they are recognizing a gift that is already present. So when somebody said to me I had a gift of exhortation, well, they were just kind of clarifying what was already there. In each person, I said before, there will be dominant and subordinate gifts. Some of them will be stronger, and those are the ones you'll see easily, but the subordinate gifts are going to be coloring in how you use those dominant gifts. The dominance of a particular gift can change for a while. It sometimes can change because it's never been developed properly, but you develop a different one. But the gift itself is always going to be there. So let's just say, I'm going to pick on Marisa. Let's just say she's given a gift of intercession and she's given a gift of prophecy. But she doesn't really understand prophecy and she really works on knowing what intercession is about. They could be equally strong in her gift mix as the Lord gave them to her, but because she worked on the intercession and exercised that gift, then that's the one you're going to see. But if she works on them both, then she can become a very powerful prophetic intercessor and use both gifts as the Lord tells her to. Does that make sense? It's real easy for us to look at our gift mix and say, well, I don't like that, and that one's not cool, and I don't even want to fool with that. That doesn't look like much fun. But God gives us gifts according to who we are and what he wants us to do. And when we use them, we will fulfill his purpose for our personal lives. That's what they're given for. And for the life of our church. Your gift is part of your identity in Christ. He gave it to you. It comes only from him. It determines your general call. Can I pick on you? For instance, teaching is a gift. We all know that Lisa has a gift of teaching, right? If that is one of her main and dominant gifts, we are going to see her teaching somehow. But depending upon how the other gift parts of the gift mix work in, she could be teaching in a school. She could be writing. She could be teaching in the pulpit, or she could be on radio or TV, or any other of a bunch of things that involve that gift of teaching where you are giving knowledge to somebody else so they can learn and grow. Does that make sense? Excuse me. When identified and used correctly, your spiritual gifts will be energizing, joyful, and fruitful. If they are not identified properly or developed and or misused, they will bring frustration, friction, and unfruitfulness. Not only friction with you personally, but friction within the church. Discovering, developing, and then using your gifts is a spiritual discipline. According to Peter Wagner, it is a primary discipline. It's that important. In Romans 12, we are called to act in finding and using our gifts. We are called to judge ourselves with a sober mind. We are called to prove or find what God's will is for ourselves. And immediately after that, there are gifts that are listed. It's not just this and then this. It's all one thing. When we find and develop and use our gifts, we grow and mature as individuals. God is glorified. The body of Christ grows and matures. We can be accountable to the body and thankful for what God has placed in us. It's not an issue of, I like what Linda has, I wish I had it too. We're thankful for what she has because God's going to enable her to do something special. And I'm thankful for what I have because God's going to enable me to do what he wants me to do. And it's a thing of joy when we find what our gift really or gifts really are. Some pitfalls to avoid in this process of finding our gift are confusion, rationalization. I don't want to pray because I don't have the gift of intercession. Well, God calls us all to pray, right? I don't want to be hospitable because I don't have the gift of hospitality. But people really do that. I don't want to do it because I don't have that gift. Well, there's a difference, remember, between the gift and the role. We are all called to pray. We are all called to be hospitable. The gift takes us above and beyond in a supernatural grace to accomplish something God wants us to do. The other thing we get into is self-deception. I have the gift of prophecy, but God didn't really give it to you. And people will pick and choose what they want, whether God gave it to them or not. And so we need to be honest with ourselves and judge ourselves very soberly, right? Okay. The gift, another thing is gift exaltation. One gift has more status than the other. Well, he has the gift of apostle, and I only have the gift of healing, whatever. And so what am I doing? I am putting his gift higher than mine. God didn't do that. God never said, this one is better, this one is better, this one is better. The only thing he ordered in Ephesians 4 and later in Corinthians 12 is the office of apostle, the office of prophet, the office of teacher. Okay? He did not say that the gift of apostle was better than the gift of hospitality. He said the office has this priority. The office of prophet has this priority. I think pastor is last, which is fine. The other thing that we need to avoid is gift projection. We all will look at somebody that was great in the faith, and especially if they do not recognize that they are accomplishing what they are accomplishing under the power of a spiritual gift from the Holy Spirit, they'll say, well, this is how I did it, and if you do it exactly this way, you'll get the exact same results, which we don't. And then we wonder why we've failed, and we feel guilty because we must not have enough faith, we must not have enough giftings, we must not be a good Christian, and that's all a lie straight out of the pit of hell. That's just where it is. When somebody projects a gift onto everybody else, if I have a gift of faith and I'd say to you, well, if you only had more faith, then you wouldn't be in so much trouble. Well, you have the faith God gave you to have. And so for me to say that is a misuse of my gift if I have the gift of faith. And I am putting on to you guilt and condemnation, which is never God's plan.
That's right.
So it is an absolute misuse of a gift. The same gift, remember I said, will have different intensities as well. So the one person with one gift of faith can be very different from another person with a different gift of faith, because God has a different plan. He has a different plan for every single one of us individually. And he has a plan for this church because he has put a certain gift mix in here to be used to accomplish what he wants to do. And it's going to look different than the church who owns this building. Their gift mix is different. It's going to look different than First Bible Baptist. It's going to look different than Bethel. It's going to look different than, what's David Branch's? Faith Chapel down in Churchville. Even though we're similar, it's going to look different than Jubilee. Even though we are similar churches, we each have a different gift mix, and God has a purpose and a plan specific for one, each one of us, and two, this church as well. In Romans 12, Paul likens the use of spiritual gifts to the human body, and he does elsewhere as well. And each part of the human body has a specific function or job. Each part and organ of the body is designed to help and benefit the whole organism. If the hand doesn't pick things up, we're going to go hungry. If the ear cannot see and the eye can't move things. But when the eye is working, it can show the hand what to pick up that is good to eat. When each part does its specific function, the body works well and it's healthy. And just as all the parts of the human body are designed to work together, so are the spiritual gifts designed to work together within the body of Christ. This body is an organism, but the body of Christ is an organism as well, with Christ as the head. And so Paul wrote about it as if it was a body, because we understand our physical bodies, more or less. No spiritual gift is more necessary or better than another. God gives them as he wishes, not as we decide. God puts gifts into the body that he knows we need, and it is up to us to discover, develop, and use them, both as individuals and as a body. Our purpose and function in the body is determined by our gift mix, and when we are all using the spiritual gifts God placed in us, then we can function as a whole. Active and accurate use of our gifts brings health and vitality to ourselves and the body. When we as a congregation understand and use our spiritual gifts, then we can open the door and become what we're supposed to be. So, how do we find our gifts? There's a couple of prerequisites. Number one, you have to be a born-again Christian. God is not going to give you the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians or Ephesians or whatever unless you are. The other thing is you need to get rid of and get over your stuff, quote unquote. If you know that you are dealing with a family line iniquity, you need to deal with it because it can interfere in how your gifts work. If you're so busy worrying about your stuff and the enemy's got you running backwards and forwards, it's hard to concentrate on what God wants you to do. You need to believe in the spiritual gifts. And there are many Christians that don't. You need to be willing to work. This is spiritual exercise, and it's going to take work. And you need to pray for his guidance. Number two, you need to explore possibilities. Study the Bible. Know what your church's position on spiritual gifts is. I'm going to tell you right now, this church believes in all the spiritual gifts working in all the fullness of God. Amen. But there are churches that do not believe in all of the gifts. So as they become more and more clarified by biblical scholars, we can get right on board and believe with them. I've not seen anything that says to me, this really isn't a gift. Read extensively. You want to find out what your possibilities are. You want to know what other people are saying about spiritual gifts, what they look like, how to find them. So do some reading. Get to know people that are gifted. If you think that you have a gift of prophet, get to know Al. Get to know Lisa. She has a prophetic gift. And be willing to talk about spiritual gifts. A lot of people will not. And they say, well, if I say I have spiritual gifts and I have A, B, C, D, then I'm bragging. And if I don't, it's like a false humility of saying I don't have anything when you really do. So be willing to talk to people about what spiritual gifts are and what they look like. Here comes a lot of the work. You need to experiment with as many gifts as possible. Look for needs and make yourself available. Discover what gifts you don't have. If you think you might have a gift of teaching and you go into the nursery room or the Sunday school and you come out crying all the time and the kids are too, that may not be your place. Okay? If you can't keep a tune, you may not be a worship leader. And that is one of the spiritual gifts. So discover what gifts you don't have. That helps to narrow it down a whole lot. Take a gift inventory, which is what I've asked you to do. Find the one you had or take a new one. And it's not the be-all and end-all. All it does is give you an idea based on a bunch of questions where to start looking. So if my survey says I have a gift of discernment, and that's one of the top ones because they rate them usually by strength, then I can start looking there, but it doesn't automatically guarantee that I'm going to be able to find that gift or develop it or use it properly. It gives you an idea of where to start looking. God gives you gifts according to your temperament and your personality. He loves you. He doesn't want you, you know, on a whetstone all the time. He wants you functioning smoothly with joy, enjoying him and enjoying life around you. That's what he put us here for. To serve him with joy and laughter and love. Number four, examine your feelings. And in this, we have to grow beyond the concept that serving God is equal to unhappiness and drudgery. Isn't that how we're usually pictured? Shame on us. The enjoyment of a task that you do will give you a better outcome of it. Yes. If you love what you're doing, the results are going to be of more excellence than if it's just another thing to get through. And you'll feel good about it, and it will encourage others around you. Enjoy yourself and please the Lord by finding the gift that matches your temperament and identity. Ask yourself, if you could do anything in the world for God that you wanted to do, what would that be? No boundaries. If you could do anything that you wanted to do, what would that be? For God. Number 5, evaluate your effectiveness. What are the results? If it's a true gift, then whatever is supposed to happen will happen. If I'm trying to cast out a demon and I don't have the gift of discernment or the gift of deliverance, I might get tromped on. And the result won't be good for the person I'm praying for. So if your survey and your temperament says you have a gift of deliverance and you are praying for people and you're seeing them delivered on a very regular basis, that's a pretty good indication that there's something there. So be willing to try different things. Expect confirmation from the body of Christ. It builds accountability. We are ultimately accountable to God, but within spiritual gifts, our local church and our extended church, we are also accountable to each other on a very immediate basis. That's part of how we build community. So expect somebody to say, Marisa, you've got a wonderful gift of intercession. Will you pray for me? Because when we know what the gifts are, we're going to know where to find help for what we need, right? And newsflash, pastors don't have it all. We really don't. And we're not supposed to. There are 3 main categories of spiritual gifts that we will look at next time. Motivational gifts, or the gifts of the Father. Ministry gifts, or the gifts of the Son, and the spiritual gifts given to us by Holy Spirit. So those of you that do not have a gift survey, please get one from Al. Please fill it out, and please give him back a copy of the results. Because part of our job as leaders in the church is to help you find that place where you are going to fit in just like a glove and be happy into doing whatever it is for the church that, or for yourself or for the extended church and outside world that you're supposed to do. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Amen. I'm done.
So if you want a survey, I will get you a survey. And if you have already taken it and you want to take it again, when you turn it back in, I will show you how your results changed or didn't change. Some of you have heard me say, our son, when he was about 12, took his survey. And this gift is not in the surveys anymore.
He doesn't know how to
And... He took it, got his results back, showed it to his mom, and she started crying. His number one gift, blew all the others away, was martyrdom. And he became a youth pastor. The two are the same, almost. Because youth pastors lay down their life for the young ones, often with the parents chasing them too, so. So they do change. When Casey and I first took them, she had a mercy gift that was way out of balance. And then she started realizing that she had other gifts, and now the last time she took it, it wasn't as prevalent. It's still a very strong gift. She says it's not. So if you want a survey, I'll get it. Remember, there's a whole farm next door, and there are delectable delights that Patricia has prepared for us. So please stay in fellowship. I love you all. Have a very blessed week.